Well, we are dealing with the subject of faith. And tonight, in keeping with this Wednesday night theme, I'm going to be speaking this evening from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 through 17 will be the text that I will choose. Don't you love this time of the year? We appreciate the long evenings now, but don't we also love those allergies, those spring allergies? All right, look at verse number 14 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Father, bless now the reading and the teaching of your word. Continue to keep your hand of blessings upon this church, Brother Bruce and the members, and may the church continue to go forward for the glory of God. Would you bless this study? Would you speak to hearts of those that could be listening that have never responded to the saving grace of God? And then, Lord, this evening, may we all realize the critical need of walking by faith. And help us, Lord, to understand what nurtures our faith and how we even receive faith to begin with. And help us, Lord, to understand the biblical context of this thing of a life of faith. Would you now bless this evening? We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this evening by referencing another passage of Scripture found in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Sometimes we sing that song, "Faith is a victory, faith is a victory, faith is a victory that overcomes the world." And of course that song is more than likely based upon the context of that 1 John passage. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. We, this evening, also from time to time, sing that song, "Victory in Jesus," don't we? So it's a blessing to realize that in Christ we do have victory. And by the way, we do live by grace through faith in the realm of victory anyway. Now, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." It's good that we be reminded tonight that we have victory in Jesus. We are overcomers in Him, in and through Him. He is our source, our supply. You might say He's our one-man army. He is really all we need. And as we walk by faith, grow in faith, and develop in faith, we realize the need, as time goes on, for greater dependency in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes this letter, and Pastor Bruce preached on, I think, 1 Timothy this past Sunday. Was it 1 Timothy with Bruce? And so, but Paul writes this letter to young Timothy, and he challenges him to be a good soldier. And if you follow through this book, you will find that every title that's ascribed to a child of God will only be qualified in accordance to a walk of faith. It takes faith to soldier. We soldier by faith. We walk by faith. We serve by faith. We live by faith. We labor by faith. Again, it's in the context of faith. He challenges him to be a good soldier. He reminds Timothy in this great letter why the Scriptures, the Word of God itself, is qualified of being the foundation for it all. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:16, which is found in this same context, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it reminds Timothy why the scriptures are qualified in being the foundation that they were. For Timothy, as verse 15 says, he's made, it says, and I'll have you look at it again, make thee wise unto salvation through faith. He reminds Timothy how the scriptures are qualified to be the foundation for all that that God wants us to be in our conduct and everything else. Scriptures, Timothy's reminded, God's word, equips. It's what it takes to equip, to make one wise. Now, Timothy's faith resulted in him having wisdom and character, according to verse 15. Again, I keep coming back to verse 15, wise unto salvation through faith. So his faith resulted in him having wisdom and character. Now, interestingly enough also, Paul references Timothy's grandmother and mother. He mentions Timothy's background, his pedigree. He mentions his background, his grandmother, his mother. They had unfeigned faith. If you, you'll see that in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. He makes reference to the faith on the part of Timothy's parents, a mother, grandmother. And so faith produced the character which Timothy displayed. The well-popular verse, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many, many times we run to that verse when it comes to trying to understand what faith really is. Faith makes things that are hoped for as real as the things that are. In other words, faith brings reality. The things that are hoped for, it makes them real. Faith is the substance or the substantiating, some have read that, of things hoped for and the conviction, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. So through immersing ourselves in the Word of God and through the corresponding faith that we gather from time in Scripture, then of course we can walk by faith. We can look at life in the right way. We can understand that even the glories that await us in our future are just as real. We have the conviction. In other words, tonight, we have the conviction that heaven is as real as if we were already there. We have the conviction tonight that the things that God has said in terms of the future are as real as if we were already living at that time. Faith brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen. Faith is behind, and we keep emphasizing this over and over. Brother Bruce and I emphasize this. Faith is behind any credible character and work on the part of Christians. It's behind it all. Now, again, coming back to this letter, looking at Paul's words to Timothy, Paul basically as much as said that Timothy's schoolhouse of grace had a faculty of faith. His schoolhouse of grace had a faculty of faith. He would face challenges. Paul reminds him of that in this letter. He would face challenges. There would be things that would crop up. There would be a falling away. There would be apostasy. There would be deviant lifestyles that would become more apparent. And so Paul writes, reminding him that the challenges that he would be facing were not from wimps, but they were challenges that necessitated him being a man of faith, depending totally and strongly on the Lord. He needed to be a strong soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's only made possible by a walk of faith. He tells him several things, and of course, we don't have time to, you don't get into all of that, but among the things that Paul tells Timothy, hold fast to sound words. That's the advice he gives him. Hold fast to sound words. Basically, keep good doctrine. Keep your head screwed on straight doctrinally. Keep sound words. And be a good disciplined student. That's 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So keep good doctrine. Be a student of Scripture. Flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. Chapter 2, verse 22. Perilous times are coming. Evil will be on the increase. Chapter 3, verse 13. A reminder of that. And then, chapter 3, verse 14. Continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you've learned. In fact, verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So he tells him, continue in what he has learned. Especially know that you have the inspired word of God. And again, I come back to verse 16. So Paul would remind Timothy, especially, understand you have the inspired word of God. You have the necessary tool. You have the sufficient holy scriptures. So Timothy's victory of faith. That's what we're kind of looking at here tonight. His victory of faith. Now in 2 Timothy 3:15, I referenced his background, but let me read you how the verse reads. It says in chapter 3, verse 15, right here before us, from a child, notice this, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I mean, that goes back a long ways, doesn't it? From a child. Now look at it further. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And there are some key words in that verse that need to be underscored. Number one, from a child. When I studied this out, that caught my attention. From a child. Secondly, thou hast known. That's the second thing that caught my attention. And then, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, there are three things that are found in that verse that would give us a reason why Timothy's faith led to his character and his wisdom. He had the background to make that happen. In other words, it's like this. Number one, he received the truth. Number two, he learned the truth. And then number three, he applied the truth. Those three things will make one wise unto salvation. So let's talk about that first thing. From a child, he received the truth. When you study this out, I mean, this goes back, you know, from a baby, actually. All the way back to, he was really, really little, really young. He had been exposed to scriptures when he was just a child. Now, I think it's maybe important to make a few comments about this. You know, babies receive impressions, by the way, long before we're aware. Babies receive impressions. Our great-grandchild, when she comes to town, she leaves her marks all over the house, I'll tell you that much. There's not a item in that house that her little roving eyes don't see. She touches everything. And like I said, I guess last week maybe I made a comment. It's a good thing I've got another niece called Rebecca that comes by and helps Carol clean the house on Monday. We needed Rebecca badly after Emery was there. But anyway, I want to tell you something about Emery. She's not even 2 years of age yet, but she's already spouting out. She's on the verge. Okay, let me put it like this. She's not too clear as far as words, pronunciation, and talking and all that, but she's getting so close it ain't funny. She's got another way of talking though. But she knows the other way of talking does not necessarily require calling out the actual name. For example, my granddaughter, they love those drumsticks. So went out and got a box of those drumsticks, and they've already introduced Emery to those drumsticks. So when Emery sees those drumsticks, she immediately goes into high gear. You know, that's her language for saying, "I want one." And then if you hold one back from her, she gets louder, keeps getting louder and louder and louder. Well, you see, babies receive impressions long before we're aware, though. They're picking up. They're learning. It's amazing. They learn many things a child does. Love, dependence, obedience. They're learning those things. Think about it. Now, just ponder this. How does an infant learn to talk? Well, we don't take a book on grammar. We don't sit down with a child and say, "Now let's begin with lesson one. I'm going to teach you some English today." No, we don't do it like that, do we? We sow the seed of language. They pick up on words. And they learn those words, don't they? They may be a little bit vague in understanding the definition of all those words, but in time they learn them, but at least they learn to speak those words. Now we do this. We sow the seed of the word. The seed of the word. Remember, I'm making an illustration here. We sow the seed of words. And a child picks up on words. We sow the seed of the word. I'm thinking of Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and faith comes from exposure to the word of God. Faith does. Babies may not understand the meaning of all words that have been sown, but they do learn to talk in time. We hear the word of God, and we may not understand very much, but we learn to trust the Lord more, the more we read, even though we don't understand. It's amazing how that works. There's more of the Bible we don't understand than what we do understand. But it's amazing the power of the Word of God when we're still reading it, even though we don't even understand it. God is still using it, you see. And so, we still, coming back to the child, literal baby, we give the child the Word anyway. Though they don't understand it, we're still sowing the seed of words as they grow up in our household, listening to the parents talk. Reception is critical. That's the point I'm making. Reception is critical. In 2 Timothy 1:5 again. Well, I'm referencing now Timothy's background. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," unfeigned, that means genuine, sincere faith, "which was first in your grandmother and then your mother." In verse 15 of our text, it says, "the Holy Scriptures." Holy Scriptures. Timothy had a tradition in Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. His tradition was not in tradition, was not in religion, was not in customs, but was in Scripture. Today, there are multitudes of religious entities and churches that are giving religious instruction that are immersing people in traditions and in trappings, unfortunately, at the expense of sheltering the Scriptures. You can go into some churches and you will have to scratch your ears over and over and over to hear anything straight out of the Word of God. It's the liturgies and it's the traditions and so forth. Saving faith and nurturing faith does not come from traditions and religions, but from the Holy Scriptures. The groundwork of faith is the Word, reception, receiving the Word. Again, go back to Timothy. From a child, he was given the Word of God. Keep reading the Bible would be my challenge. Keep coming to church to hear it taught. Keep receiving it. It may be dry in many places. It may be boring sometimes when you're actually reading certain portions of Scripture. But it's still working and you don't even realize it. Because you're still being exposed to the Holy Scriptures. And God honors His Word above His own name. And you can hurry up and believe tonight anytime anyone is exposed to Scriptures because it is the inerrant, inspired Word of the living God. The Holy Spirit has something to work with. And you can be helped. Now, secondly, I want you to note this about Timothy. Okay, we see his exposure. Now, secondly, notice he learned the Holy Scriptures. It says in verse 14, continue things which thou hast learned. Learned. It says thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, verse 15, so he learned them. His learning led to the right direction of faith, by the way, too. Faith, I'll put it like this, faith is generated by exposure to the Scriptures, and faith is nurtured by the learning of Scriptures. Timothy's exposure to the Scriptures and learning of Scriptures led him to Christ, of course, and then it nurtured his faith. The Bible says he was made wise unto salvation. He was made wise. So wisdom and character develop as faith is increased, as faith is nurtured. Now, it's possible, I would throw this out, it's possible, however, to know the Word and not know the Lord. We can't be naive along that line, can we? It's possible to know the Word but not know the Lord. We all have known people that could quote the Bible, that knew the Word as far as could take you to certain places of Scripture and could tell you what it said and could recall certain portions of Scripture. But that's not an automatic given as far as knowing the Lord, though. So it's always good to keep that in mind. But you see now, a lot of people quote Scripture. The devil quoted Scripture. The only thing about the devil, though, is he did distort it, though, didn't he? He distorted it. You remember the temptation. So he handled it. He abused the Scriptures and so forth. But just because you hear someone talking about going to church, talking about knowing the Bible, blah, 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 don't automatically assume they're saved, though. It's always good. Be wise along that line. Now, our growth in knowledge of the Word affects our growth in faith. And our growth in faith means a growth in grace. When you're growing in faith, you're growing in grace. The more we learn the Scriptures, the more our faith is increased. Now, I thought about that. You say, how? Okay. How is our faith increased the more we're exposed to the Scriptures, the more we read the Scriptures? How is it increased? Well, I'll give you about three things. When we pore over the Bible, pore over Scriptures, first of all, we find the actual challenges to walk by faith. Just plain old commands. You know, walk by faith. So, our faith is increased, first of all, because we're made aware of the challenges. We're made aware of the verses. We're actually told to do that. Then secondly, we learn the value of faith. The more you read the Bible, you're reading about the lives of people of faith, characters of faith. You're seeing the value of faith. Like Hebrews 11, look at all of the things that were accomplished by those people in that hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, look at the value of faith. See how God blessed. So the more we read the Bible, we're reading of those examples, and that shows us example after example of how God blesses a person who is a person of faith. And then the Holy Spirit uses a word to work in our lives and during the process of it. He's nurturing faith. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then it says, and the Spirit of God moved, or the thought is brooded, over the face of the water. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the water. Now, just by way of application, let me say this. I believe the Spirit of God moves or broods over the Word of God. I believe when we're in the Word of God, as in Genesis, He moved on the face of the water. Well, the Bible is the water of the Word, and I believe the Holy Spirit is moving. Because again, now let's understand something. This is not just a book. This is all Scripture, the verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's God. All Scripture is theopneustos. I know that impresses you all, but it simply means God breathed in the original. All Scripture is God breathed. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, and so forth. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, which is God breathed, and even when we're reading it and don't understand it, if we're still in it, the Spirit of God, I believe, is moving up on the Scriptures and is still doing things. So, you know, knowing affects growing. Faith grows in accordance to the great exposure of Scripture. Now, thirdly, tonight, Timothy, third thing he did, he applied the truth. He applied it. Now, the verse says, he was made wise through faith. He was made wise through faith. So, and what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge, of course. His faith resulted in a greater wisdom. Greater faith does not find wisdom in the philosophies of men anyway, but rather the oracles of scriptural truth. Now, Paul said to those know-it-alls in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, those scribes and Pharisees who tried to go down deep, but they always came up dry. They were known for their philosophies, and they could, yes, they could quote the law and all that, but here's what he said. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, save them that believe. So, wisdom is not found in those that simply may have on their degree doctor of philosophy or whatever. One is not saved by just reading and by just studying this either, because the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day proves that point, don't they? In fact, here's a verse, John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. As it reads, you are searching the Scriptures. The scribes and Pharisees were digging in the Old Testament law, but they came short because they didn't go quite far enough. They got hung up at the tabernacle. They got hung up in the Old Testament system. They didn't get far enough. They didn't get to Christ. They didn't see Him throughout the Scriptures. So I'm saying solid character is a result of instruction in Scriptures coupled with faith. And I'm closing now as we wind down this evening. I'll simply say this. Today, in this world we're living, with multitudes of religious systems and people confused everywhere you go, many people jumping on the bandwagon without even knowing where the wagon's going, only a strong faith and a walk with God, day by day, consistent walk with the Lord, will get a person through. Abraham, the Bible says, staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And that's what we need to do. I see many times churches that go through problems and maybe pastors leave. And I'm thankful to God it's not the way it was here. But I've known many churches where pastors have preached for years in a church. And the pastor leaves and a new pastor comes in. Then the next thing you know, people start leaving and so forth. That only tells you one thing. They were following the man, not the Lord, to start with. They were infatuated by maybe the charisma or the character, the personality of the individual. I'm telling you something. We're grounded in the truth and walking by faith. We keep on keeping on because we come to church, because we love God. We want to learn His Word. We want to grow in grace and knowledge. This church is not built upon the characters of any of its preachers. It's built upon the foundation of the Word of God. And that's what keeps us going. It's a walk of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for this time in the Word, and pray you'll use it to help people now. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother